Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Today we're going to dive into Handbrake.
Today you'll know how to compress your videos. Welcome to Know How, the show where we show you how to do stuff. I, as Akhtar, my little buddy, I'm Skipper Leo Laporte, and today we're going to show you, really, it's one way of many to compress video files. It's your favorite way, my favorite way, too. It's a little free program written by French schoolboys called Handbrake.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Handbrake because a lot of folks were wondering about our Media Center episodes. How do you get the video files from DVDs, and how do you get the best quality on those MP4s, whatever else you're going to make? Also, how are you going to have the smallest files to have them streaming online? So many different ways that we're going to dive into Handbrake. It's cross-platform. That's another reason why I picked that one.
Windows and Mac.
That's right. And that's why I was like, okay, look, I know you guys are going to have a lot of different opinions on what to use, and we love hearing about that. So don't forget, drop us an email at knowhow@twit.tv with your best and favorite ideas on what compression software you use. But today, it's all about Handbrake, and we're going to use an example video to show you all the power that's in this piece of software.
So there's two kind of terms we're going to use here that you need to know. One is ripping. That is, and it doesn't mean ripping off, by the way. We're not encouraging you to rip stuff off. In fact, this should be content you already own. You bought the DVD. But ripping it, whether it's a CD or a DVD or even a Blu-ray, is taking the digital data that's on physical media and moving it onto your hard drive. That's the ripping part. But then we're also going to do some transcoding, because if you merely copy over the DVD files, then you have to have a DVD player to play it. It takes up a lot more space than it has to. And that's where Handbrake comes in.
Well, that's the other thing. DVD video is MPEG-2. That's usually very uncompressed. That's a larger, or it's less compressed.
4 or 5 gigs in most cases, sometimes twice that.
Right. And if you're talking about Blu-ray discs, you're talking about
a much larger
file. So what we're going to do is make our files small.
So Handbrake is a transcoder.
Yes, a transcoder. And what we're going to do is show you this real quick first. There are our presets. So we have, I've already loaded on my video. And what you're looking at, you can see the Joker over there. I'm going to make a small copy of Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, one of my favorite animated movies.
One of the reasons people like me love Handbrake is these presets. I don't, you know, if you're a guru of video encoding, you might want to twiddle the knobs and slide the sliders yourself. But the presets kind of give you the ideal settings for most forms that you want to put this in, right?
Right, so there's like Universal, there's iPod, and you got Apple TV options. When you hover over each of the options, you'll see a little tooltip explaining to you what exactly is given to you. I like having the preview window open. That's what's open over here. So as I change the presets, you'll see the size getting larger or smaller, and that gives you an indication of how many pixels it's going to take up right there. And on the top of the actual title window here, you'll see the output size. 720 by 480 is the actual source, 720 by 368, because it's going to be cropping off some of those little black bars that were on the DVD.
Well, also, there's no reason to have more video than you can display or use on an iPod Touch, let's say. You want to compress it properly for the device that you're using. What are we going to compress for today?
Okay, we're going to be compressing probably for the highest quality I can get. So I'm going to try to get something as close to the source as I can, because I like to watch these things on my large television.
But still, small file size.
I want to be able to stream it on my network.
Can we get down to about a gigabyte an hour? Can we get it that small?
A gigabyte an hour, I think we could do that. That's pretty easy.
All right.
But what we're going to do first, we're going to take a look at some of the problems I ran into with this particular DVD. It's one of the reasons why I want to use it as an example. So in this preview here, you can see what the video looks like. It's just a still image. I highly suggest doing this. There's a little live preview button. So I'm going to hit the live preview, and what it's going to do is create a preview based on the presets I've chosen already.
So it just compresses a few seconds.
Right, 15 seconds of video. Now, right now, you can't see it very well. I'm going to try to zoom in even further. There's a lot of interlacing issues anytime there's any movement. Let's see if I can go back. Let's try to get that even larger.
A cartoon may not always be the best way to do this, because the frame rates on cartoons aren't necessarily as high frame rate as a regular video is. It may not look that good.
Right, if you could see,
I can see a little bit of that.
Hands, you'll see it. If we get even further, you'll see it.
Interlacing.
There's the interlacing on the hand.
It's an artifact that actually comes from the way television used to be done, which was every other line. And we are looking at stuff that's progressive scan, that is all 720 or 1080 lines at once.
Right, progressive.
Right. And as if you look at something in a progressive scan that is interlaced, you'll see kind of this weird window shade effect, this Venetian blind effect.
And that's one of the reasons why I always do the live preview to make sure that it's not going to happen.
You don't want that.
I found it happen a lot more with animated things than not. Mm-hmm. Simpsons DVDs, Batman things like this. So I always double check because I don't want to be watching an interlaced picture when I could have done something about it. And Handbrake lets you do that.
Does it have a de-interlacing feature?
Yes. Or? So what you're going to do is go into Picture Settings, which is up here. We're going to hit Picture Settings. And you can see this little smoke window here. I'm going to try to zoom in, try to get this nice and big. So we've got a lot of different words here. De-telecine, decomb, de-interlace.
Yeah.
So de-telecine has to do with how the video is interlaced when the frame rates are changed around. There's all kinds of explanations at Handbrake. Decomb is like de-telecine, looks at every pixel. I like going with de-interlace over here.
And turn that all the way up.
This is a slider, so you can go decomb or de-interlace.
Right.
De-interlace takes a longer time.
Right.
I like that because what that does is it's going to analyze each frame, each pixel, all the time. It's going to take its time when it does.
You're only going to analyze and rip once. You might as well transcode once. You might as well take the time and do it right.
And there are other settings. If for some reason you wanted to go to grayscale, maybe you got Sin City and you just want to change it to grayscale,
right,
or denoise it, you can do that. But I'm going to do again.
I'm going to ask you a question. You may not know the answer. I don't know, certainly. What is the difference between decomb and de-interlace?
Decomb.
I think they're kind of related, it sounds like. There certainly is on the slider.
Decomb, they said it's like I was reading about this. I want to know the difference, too.
Yeah.
De-telecine is kind of like that. But de-interlacing is slower. Decomb is looking at every pixel, and de-interlacing.
So it's how it's removing the interlacing. Mm-hmm. Not that it's removed. In both cases, they're removing interlacing.
Right. Okay. You're gonna get a smoother picture.
Okay. It's just the technique used for it.
And if that explanation wasn't sufficient, mess around all you want. Go with decomb and see what happens. I'm going to say default. You know what? Let's see what this looks like.
Yeah, maybe try the faster one. There's no reason to put more data in this compression than you need. There's no reason to take more time than you need. If it doesn't look better, then don't use it.
Now, maybe when you're watching this compressed video or the HD version of this video of a video, you might not see the same interlacing I was seeing.
I don't see it. It looks pretty good.
I'm seeing some tears in this.
Oh, man, you got good eyes.
I'm a real snob when it comes to video, yeah. So I probably will go back to my favorite, which is...
And, of course, you're ripping this for Aldrin, so he really cares. As we know...
He's got better eyes than I do.
Your five-year-old really cares about the quality of the video.
Well, when he's 5 minutes...
Daddy, it's interlaced. I don't like interlacing. You know I don't like interlacing. No vodka for you tonight.
He's turned into like an old man at the end.
I don't know what happened. How old is
he? He's 2.5.
Right? 2.5.
As we speak, he's 2.5.
I doubled his age.
Well, he's an old man. He's an old soul. Now we've messed with the de-interlace. I'm going to have it as slow as possible because I don't want a lousy picture when we're doing this. We're going to go back to the main Handbrake window and look at all of these fun settings. We got video. You can change the codec. If you want MPEG-2, I don't suggest MPEG-2. Because usually you have to have a license for MPEG-2. Is that right, Leo?
When you're both MPEG-2 and H.264, and actually all of these are technically patented, but MPEG-2 is not as freely available. You have to have a codec.
You've got to do more work, I think, for MPEG-2 than MPEG-4.
And we should mention, we did not mention this, but Handbrake, which is created, as I said, by French schoolboys, handbrake.fr, actually I'm being a little bit silly about that, decided at some point a few years ago that they no longer wanted to include the MPEG-2 decoder, transcoder in there. They no longer wanted to include the DCSS ripping technology. So in order to rip a physical DVD, you have to pre-install another free program, VideoLAN, which everybody should have VLC. Mm-hmm. You may not even notice that you need it because most people already have it installed. But if you don't, VideoLAN.org, the VideoLAN client, that actually has the MPEG-2 codecs in there. It also has the ability to get a key off that DVD and store it in memory. At that point, Handbrake has no trouble ripping the DVD, even if it's a copy-protected DVD. I'm a fan of H.264 anyway. I think it's better quality than MPEG-2, so use it if you can.
The reason why I go with H.264 when it comes to most of my compressions is because the dumbest product I have in the house is the Apple TV. And I say it's the dumbest because it can only read like one kind of file when it comes to video.
H.264.
If the dumbest thing can do it, that means my PC can handle it, my Android device can handle it, anything else can do it.
It is
that
kind
dumbest
of the,
one.
The lowest common denominator, the lingua franca, but it happens to be a very good codec that's going to give you good results anyway.
It does
so
a good
job.
Why
not use it? Yeah.
So if we were talking about the filters before, actually, we should go to the size option. So this tiny smoked window, let me see if I could go up into here. We were talking about trying to make this as large as the original file. So you see 720 by 368. Now, there's this section for anamorphic. You either have loose, strict, none, or custom. Okay.
This is, by the way, now you know why I use the presets. You're getting this stuff. I don't even know what they're talking about. Anamorphic has to do with the widescreen versus the 4:3 aspect ratio. And I think I remember anamorphic videos have both stored in them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what loose, strict, custom is.
I looked this up because I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that the video I make is as close to the original as possible.
Strict.
If you go with strict.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to have a smaller file, or you want
strict
the computer
is more compatible.
It's going to be the closest to the real thing. Loose will give you maybe a faster encode. It might give you something that looks slightly different. Yeah. But I don't want something that looks slightly
different.
Some things
I like loose, not my encodes.
Right. Exactly right. Loose slots at this casino, but not with your video. So I'm going to go with strict. That's not on by default. Pick strict because. Okay. If you're like me, again, you're going to be a video snob who's noticing tearing and all kinds of things.
So it gives you a better result, and it's more compatible.
That's what I find.
Okay.
We should take a quick break.
All right.
That was
so, yeah.
That was it.
You should have paused longer. I mean, you should have paused before you said we should have taken a quick break, because if...
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so let's go back.
They may not need that. It's all right. It's too late now.
Well, all right. And then...
So, but don't act like you've come back from a break, because that will be in the ad.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what do we do? So you're still playing with settings?
Still playing with settings.
You're such a nerd.
Well, this thing is hand. Look, is this? You can get a simpler encoder out there. There are lots of different things.
It's simple. Take the preset. You go into the Apple TV. Bonk.
You could do
that. In fact, they even warn you. They have a cute little warning. Are you sure you want to change these settings?
That's the advanced tab. We're not even in the advanced tab yet.
Oh.
So I'm going to go to frame rate. I'm going to make it same as source because, again, why would you mess with that unless you want to make a smaller file? Maybe you want to make a flipbook. Make sure this is always same as source. Now we're going to the audio section. As a nerd,
I accept all the defaults, but you are a video nerd, so you need to mess with it.
I'm a nerd, and I really love my DVD commentaries.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to lose those.
I know, this is strange. I guess I'm one of the few people that actually took advantage of these DVD audio commentaries. But you can see that you have different options, and you can embed them into the file you make. You might not even know that your H.264 videos could have more than one audio track, but they're in there. This one,
these are generally language tracks, right?
This one right here, we have two different options for Dolby Surround and 5.1. Other DVDs I've seen have commentary tracks, French tracks, Spanish tracks.
And there is, I see a subtitles tab. So
we're going to go to subtitles because I love having my subtitles because sometimes when my 2.5-year-old is losing his mind, I can't follow the story.
Right.
I still want to be able to see the subtitles. And you have lots of different options here.
Will your player give you the choice? I mean, you've got to use a player that can, say, turn on and off subtitles. I noticed, for instance, we had Chinese subtitles when we were playing videos back on the Raspberry Pi some time ago. That's because you turned on subtitles, and there was no way to turn them off.
Well, it depends on what your player is.
Right.
If you're using VideoLand like you were talking about, it's easy to remove.
It has checkboxes.
Any of those things.
Stuff. Okay.
If for some reason you want these subtitles burned in, you want them on the video all the time, that's an option.
It is an option.
You can click burned in, and what it's going to do, it's going to take those bitmap images, because that's what that text is. It's going to overlay it onto every frame, and you're never going to be able to remove that. It's up to you if you want to do that. So we've also got different options. I'm going to get a French subtitle in there later. Closed captioning. Now, closed captioning, the difference between closed captioning and these bitmaps is that closed captioning is readable by more programs. I found the Apple TV can actually read...
It supports closed captioning.
Closed captioning.
Yeah.
It can't read the bitmap versions of the text, but it can find that. So if you wanted subtitles built in, you could do that as well. Again, make it for the dumbest box. Everything else can handle it. Apple TV can figure this out. I'm not going to burn in any subtitles because I really don't want to see French subtitles when I'm watching Batman.
Once they're burned in, you can't get rid of them. You'd have to re-encode.
The advanced tab. I'm not messing with this. Okay? That's like a 301 class. This
Holy
is a 201
camoli.
Class. You can really mess with this if you want. There's B-frames. I'm pretty sure Alex Lindsay could probably explain this in his sleep. When it comes to B-frames, I believe that's how often the program will look at changes in frames. So it might check every, 2 frames, 20 frames, whatever you want. I'm not messing with those. Chapters, that's self-explanatory. So now, what are we going to do with this? We've set that up. We haven't talked about video quality. Okay, here comes the thing. You want to talk about... under a gigabyte an hour?
Right.
Okay, so when I started doing this with Handbrake, when I started looking at video encoding at all, I used to look at bit rates. That's what I'm used to. I'm not used to
how many bits per second required to play back this video.
Right. Now, a DVD is burned at a 3 megabit to 9.5 megabit a second. So there's no reason to make this, let's say I want to make this, you know, 20,000 kilobits per second.
With 20 megabits. Right. It wouldn't make any sense.
It would make no sense. So when you're doing this, there's no reason to say, okay, the larger number is the better number.
Right.
It makes no sense there. Take a look at your source file. If you've ripped a Blu-ray, that's usually at 30 megabits per second. If you've got a TV show, an HD over-the-air television show, 30 megabits a second. So it's up to you how you want to compress that. For me, I found it pretty good at around 2,000 kilobits per second, which is 2 megabits, 3 megabits per second on a decent HD TV.
This is also where you'll see slower hardware, less capable hardware may not be able to handle a higher bit rate. So that's another one where you might want to experiment. If you're using a Raspberry Pi, for instance, it may not handle 3,000 kilobits a second. It might have to be 2,000.
And there are older devices out there that will only play video up to a certain bit rate, certain frames, frame rates. There are other, these are older devices.
What's the lowest that looks okay for you?
For me, it depends how far I am from the TV, quite honestly. I say 1,500 is the lowest I want to go when it comes to really detailed things. You definitely see this, you see the compression just fail miserably when you have lots of little things on screen. So A Bug's Life, this is a great example. Blades of grass, tiny ants. Now what happens is they look like giant blocks.
Right.
If you compress
more bits is going to be better.
You're going to want a higher bit rate. Right. You want to try to get as close as possible because that is a lot of data. So that's what I would do with bit rate. I always suggest two-pass encoding.
That just takes time in the encoding side. It doesn't matter. It just makes it better encoding.
Right. So you should theoretically have a nicer-looking file with that.
Right.
This constant quality thing is relatively new. I hadn't seen this, and I didn't want to mess with it too often, but I had to learn to see what exactly is the hook of constant quality.
That's kind of like video or variable bit rate encoding on a MP3, where you change the bit rate depending on what you need to give constant quality.
I believe that that's exactly what it is. It's on by default. Handbrake says it's faster than the dual pass. They say the constant quality can produce the same quality as a two-pass encode.
But a smaller file.
Smaller file is what they're saying.
Right.
Now, what do the numbers mean? So it says RF20. All right, so if you go to RF0, that's no compression. And then 50 is the most compression. So the thing is you want to find somewhere in a good location for your DVD or your Blu-ray. I believe I can't remember what the Blu-ray one was. I'll have to find that in a minute. I'll definitely have a link to that in the show notes to find out what exactly is the best RF value for Blu-ray. What's the best RF for DVD? Okay, so that's
Andy
all
in
the
Germany
sense.
Is saying, by the way, that the Raspberry Pi has hardware decoding, which means that it can actually handle a higher bit rate than you think. That's because the CPU, as slow as it is, isn't really doing the decoding.
The GPU.
That's why it's kind of hard to tell what's going to need what. Experimentation, trial and error is probably the best way to do this. And you don't want to over-encode. You don't want to make these files bigger than they need to be.
Okay, I think I've screwed with this video as much as I want to.
No kidding.
I've made the RF quality way too high. Let me
so you're saying that the defaults don't necessarily give you the best results. You might want to tweak it.
They'll give you a good one. But I think if you want more control over this, there are other devices than Apple TVs and Android devices. There are things that if you're watching on a very large TV, that's when this starts to matter. When I first started compressing, this is hilarious. I had a DVD. I would compress it for my 640 by 480 SD TV. And when I watched that video file back recently,
it looked bad.
Oh my gosh.
Man.
I wanted to just take off my glasses, maybe step about 30 feet back, and maybe it'd look okay. But not good enough for me
so
anymore.
This is why you always keep the DVD. You can re-encode it another
re-encode it. And when you encode it this way, at least that copy is really good. And you can take, by the way, that resulting file, if you wanted to, you could re-encode that again. I don't recommend that, but you could. Because Handbrake does more than just DVDs. And if you're going to be doing a bunch of these, because if I'm going to be doing this, I'll make this a preset.
Handbrake is a batch mode, which is really nice.
Right. You can just, don't forget there's an add to queue feature up here. I like to use this button. You can hit show queue and you'll see that right here, Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, will be available for me. I've had mixed results with queuing up stuff. If my queue goes beyond about 30 to 50 items, I've seen some really wonky things. When we go to maybe about, stick to 30 or 50, but don't go past that because if it crashes while the queue is saved, it might not produce the same results. I've had issues with that. Just a little word of advice when it comes to Handbrake. And now, Leo, you know more about Handbrake than you ever wanted to see.
Well,
because that's what I do.
You've inspired me to go in there and maybe play with some of those additional settings that I usually just don't pay any attention to. And just click the preset. So maybe I'll try that.
Maybe I'll just give you one of my presets and you just be like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, setting. It's just way, way overdone.
So now that you know how to use Handbrake, go out, rip all your movies, put them on the hard drive, and enjoy. We'll see you next time on Know How.